Hey guys, and welcome back to the Bloodlust Podcast. This is episode number 2, and today we're going to look into why all cops are fucking awful. Now, this isn't saying that all cops are bad people, but the occupation is the bad part. Like with the Nazis or the members of ISIS, not all of the people in those groups are bad people. Hell, some of the Nazis helped save Jews when they were getting boarded along the trains to get taken to death in concentration camps, or they would hide them. And there are some people in ISIS that try to save men and women and their towns from the crazy havocs that ISIS does to people. But that doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, they were still a Nazi, or they were still a member of ISIS, or they were still a member of the KKK. It doesn't matter. They were supporting to the cause. Like, let's say you are super into animal activism, right? But you go out every single day and dump like 20 or 30 plastic straws into your local river, and then a couple, you know, bottle caps or whatever. And you're just like, hey, I'm getting rid of it, you know, but I still love animals. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You're still putting it into the cause. So it doesn't really matter if you care about animals or not. You can say whatever, but your actions aren't showing that you do care, other than you saying. And that's kind of how most cops are in general. They have this idea of wanting to help and protect and serve and whatever. That's what they start when they get into it. Some of them, not all, but some of them. And one of the reasons that I am very against the idea of police is because, since I politically believe in anarchy and think it would work the best, one of the main topics or ideals of it is to abolish all hierarchy. And I cannot name a single police department, police officer, anything that has to do with groups like that, that doesn't think of themselves over the civilians that they're supposed to protect. They think of themselves as more or better. And that ends up with so many problems that don't need to happen. So, kind of going through a brief summary of that, we can start slowly getting into now why so many people are pissed off about it. So just kicking this off with talking about the United States policemen. Police officers in the US shoot and kill hundreds of people each year, according to what the FBI's limited data gives us. But that is so much more than other countries like the UK and then Japan and Germany, where police officers might go an entire year without killing more than a dozen people, and some of them, no one at all. One of the explanations that the FBI or the government or whoever came out with this, and it's been thrown around all the time, honestly, tracking it back to the source where it came from is basically impossible, but one of the explanations for our such police killing civilians rate is that murder and gun violence is more common in the US than other countries. That puts police in more situations where the use of force is necessary. But a study at JAMA found that the US rate of gun deaths, which does include homicides and suicides, was 10.6 per 100,000 people in 2016. Now, Switzerland's rate was 2.8, Canada's was 2.1, Australia's was 1, Germany's was 0.9, the United Kingdom's was 0.3, Japan was 0.2. Now, but why does the US have more homicides and gun violence than other developed countries? One of the explanations was that Americans are much more likely to own guns than their peers around the world. This means conflict not just between the police and civilians, but the civilians and the civilians, which are more likely to escalate into deadly, very violent encounters. But the research bears this out. More guns lead to more gun violence. And for police in particular, one study in the American Journal of Public Health found that every 10% increase in firearm ownership correlated with 10 additional officers killed at the state level over a 15-year period. Another way of looking at that, Americans make up less than 5% of the world's population, yet they own roughly 45% of all of the world's privately held firearms. This is a result of cultural and policy decisions made by the U.S. that have made firearms far more available in America than the rest of the places in the world. One study from the American Journal of Public Health found that every 10% increase in firearm ownership correlated with at least 10 additional officers killed over a 15-year period. Now, another way of looking at this, Americans make up less than 5% of the world's population, yet they own 45% roughly of all of the world's privately held firearms. This is a result of cultural and policy decisions made by the U.S. that have made firearms far more available in America than in most of the world. For American police officers, this means that not only will they encounter more guns, but they expect to encounter more guns, making them more likely to anticipate and perceive a threat and use deadly force as a result. And there is, in fact, a correlation between the number of guns and killings by police. But deadly police encounters have drawn increased criticism over the past few years as cops have shot and killed unarmed or otherwise innocent black men and boys, highlighting the troubled racial disparities in how the police use force. Now, I sourced this from a website called Vox. That's where I read this article from. And I do read some articles from here, and most of the time, I do trust them and believe them. But basically, when race plays into how the legal system treats you, it really just screws everything up. Like, basically, modern cops will be like, this guy's black, he has a gun, shoot him, and it's fine. They don't get fired, they don't get prosecuted, nothing happens. Innocent men, women, whatever, mostly black young men and boys, get killed over racial bias of these fat, ugly, white police officers. Now, I'm sorry, not all of them are fat, white, and ugly, you know. I'm just upset about this. But police can just get away with this. They can just shoot for any reason. But that leads us to another reason why cops are bad. Now, that's not just saying police will only shoot for any reason. That's not always the case. But some of them do. Now, when a civilian is killed unlawfully by policemen, they are very, very rarely prosecuted for said shootings. And it's not just because the law allows them wide latitude to use force on the job. Sometimes the investigations fall onto the same police department which the officer is from, which creates major conflict in, you know, terms of interest, and, you know, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's basically saying, oh, the murderer's family who loves them so much, make them the law enforcement for it, because that's just so stupid. There's no fucking reasonable reason for that to be like that. But other times, the only available evidence comes from the eyewitnesses, who in today's society may not be as trustworthy as a police officer. Now, there's a tendency to believe an officer over a civilian in terms of credibility. David Rovesky is a civil rights lawyer who co-wrote Prosecuting Misconduct, Law and Litigation, and told Vox's Amanda Taub. And when an officer is on trial, reasonable doubt has a lot of bite. A prosecutor needs a very strong case before a jury will say something we generally trust to protect us, and it so seriously has crossed the lines as to be subject to a conviction. Sorry, I took this quote from Vox. I thought it was a really big reason and good way to explain that. With the society that most people live in, and with the politics and the government and whatever most people live in and believe in and really trust in, a police officer is their safe haven, basically. They are their savior. They will go to them when their house gets robbed or whatever. But then you realize that they're not always the good guy. We don't live in a world that is black and white, where it's good guy, good cop, bad cop, whatever. We live in a world where there's a gray line in between, then there's blue over there, red over there, pink over there. There will never be such a thing as a completely honest and true trial towards a policeman. Now, if in some crazy way where the evidence is just too much for the policemen to get backed out of it, and they are charged, they're very rarely convicted. The National Police Misconduct Reporting Project analyzed 3,238 criminal cases against police officers from April 2009 through December 2010, and they found that only 33% were convicted, and only 36% of officers who were convicted ended up serving in prison sentences. Both of those are about half the rate at which members of the public are convicted or incarcerated. Now, this is the thing I was going to bring up about the hierarchy. If a policeman does something bad, they just don't get in trouble. American jail systems are legitimate modernized slavery. And a policeman never wants to go there, so they're going to do everything they can not to go there. So they're going to talk to their big chief police friend and be like, hey, I'm sorry, didn't mean to shoot him. It was an accident. He had a gun. And they're going to be like, Billy, it's all good. But anyways, these are just basic stats that anyone can read and be like, oh, well, yeah, you know, that's bad. But most likely it isn't true of the story of really what's going on, because throughout American schooling system, I've been brainwashed into thinking cops are here to keep us safe. Well, that's just never been the case. As nice as honest protection from anything bad does sound, it just can't exist. The world doesn't work like that. Justified protection can't exist. Well, at least so far in what we've made for ourselves, it can't. Some of pretty recent news stories into how fucking awful policemen are. So, one of the stories I have here is about a police headquarters that got vandalized around April 23rd. The name Stephanie was spray painted on the sign outside of it, but for very good reason. So on April 16th, around 4:30 a.m. in the New Haven community in New Haven, Connecticut, Stephanie Washington, a black woman, and her boyfriend, Paul Witherspoon, were attacked by two policemen, basically. They were just hanging out, minding their own business, and the Hamden Pigs and the Yell Pigs went outside of where their jurisdiction or job description came and entered the New Haven, for suspected robbery. Now, this robbery never actually took place. The Yell and Hamden Pigs took the call as an opportunity to attack the Ville, I see. Hamden and Yell have created their own all-too-familiar scapegoat for the failings of capitalism, the demonetization of poor and black and brown communities. But this outrageous circumstances, like the outrageous circumstances surrounding this attempted murder, are a symptom of incredible belligerent behavior of occupying the forces in the greater New Haven. Now, because of the participating Yale student body and the general public at large, the hard work of several new communities of color, and the discipline, strength, and passion, and the pain of the black women in Connecticut, the state's apparatus has made several almost completely unheard of congressions regarding the case and policing the area entirely. Now, that's just not enough. This story is easy to see why it's fucked up. Basically, two cops went outside what they're supposed to do and saw two black people and were like, hey, you know what? There's this robbery. We're going to try to fucking kill you because we're racist. It's as simple as it gets. It stems down to how the hell the KKK started or any of this. It's because people are scared of different things. Now, I sourced that from itsgoingdown.org. But it's a good site for looking up news and stuff. It more has anarchy views on it than, you know, normal news sites. But it could you imagine going out of your way to harm someone else when, even though it's stupid, but your quote-unquote job description is to protect the public, and you don't do that unless they're white or rich or whatever it may be. But it just so happens that either the poorer communities or the black communities or the brown communities or whatever as long as it's not them, they're going to target them, really. Now, this next story that I looked into really did stand out to me. Now, this the title of the story basically summarizes it really well. Special police assault, team brutality clear anarchist camp. So we can see how where this is going and how cops are treating different styles of how to govern America or different ideals or whatever. But into the story. So on April 20th, a police assault team stormed into the Dasha, which I tried to find where that was, but I couldn't. When I know more, I will definitely bring it up in the next episode. But from what I could find, they stormed into the Dasha, quote-unquote as it's called, where these anarchists had gathered. Now, participants of the anarchist camps were beaten to detained almost immediately. Now, most of the time with anarchy protest, it's within natural laws of peace. Like, no one ever really gets physically hurt, and we respect one another, we respect our space, but we see an issue and we're gonna bring it up, and you're voting. If voting did anything, which is one of my favorite, this is one of my favorite quotes, if voting did anything, they would make it illegal. So the only way we can do it is protesting, because that's really what makes them see. Now, yeah, 20 protests in, you're not gonna see much. It's gonna take a long while. It's like with the Black Civil Rights Movement. It took hundreds of protests and a union to cause a change like that. But here's the thing with American police officers. I don't believe that this happened in America, because if an American cop ever did something like that, they would legit be put in jail immediately. Because we have protection over our free speech here. That doesn't mean that they don't have their way around doing this kind of shit. But from the camp, a total of 11 people were detained. One of the activists of the anarchist movement, Bashaklu Konishu, wrote on Facebook on the evening of April 21st. According to the activist, the detainees were taken to the local police station where they continued to be beaten, abused, and threatened. Some were tortured, some with their heads dipped into a toilet. However, no evidence or explanation was ever asked for. They only copied personal data, she wrote. Now, later, 5 people were released. But there were about 15 to 20 people, and all of them wearing bulletproof vests and holding machine guns, and they ran into the house and forced everyone on the floor and handcuffed them. And everything was recorded on camera. They recorded names, last names, addresses. People on the floor were repetitively beaten. Those who refused to speak were beaten harder. One guy was taken away somewhere, and when they returned with him, they said now he'll be put down, since they had to plunge him into a toilet. Literally, policemen are like middle school bullies, but with guns and laws to protect them from getting in trouble from doing this kind of shit. They eventually shoved them into a police car, and then they shoved us into a police car and took us to the Corbin police station, says Zimtar, Z-I-Z-M-I-T-S-E-R. I don't know how to correctly pronounce that name, so I'm very sorry, but I have these quotes written down, and I started reading it as if it wasn't a quote. According to the activists, at the police station, everyone was stretched out and was called in for a conversation one by one. Everyone was photographed, and refusing to do so, they beat him and threatened to put him up on a bottle, one of the activists said. Now, the anarchist site Revolutionary Action also reported on the raid on the anarchist camp in 2016, and the Ministry of Information added on this site is the list to extreme resources. Now, everyone was told to take a drug test. Those who did not refuse to do this had the device showing a positive result, although none of them have ever used. These people don't even smoke cigarettes, says Semester, one of the activists there. So how did their drug test come back positive when they never touched anything? And these are good people. You know, these are the kind of people that they don't touch that kind of stuff. They don't even smoke cigarettes. But according to the Revolutionary Action, the drug tests were sent over for revision, and three more anarchists were later released from their remand prison without a protocol. Now there are three people in a temporary detention center. Now, from reading these stories, we can see how fucking stupid and bigoted these policemen are. They have no reason for what they're doing, and if they think what they're doing is right, it fucking came from somewhere where none of us know where. And there are plenty of more stories on the shit American police officers do, because that's one of the main things we were focusing on besides the second story, which I don't believe happened in America. But it has to do with the problem of policemen all over the world. It is not just in the United States. It is in South America, Canada, Mexico, hell, Australia, whatever. Wherever there are police, there are going to be issues. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter what continent, what state, what city, what street. There will always be those issues because of the hierarchies they have established for themselves. And with the laws that people have given police officers and put them above civilians like that, it just causes chaos. Because I understand having to have protection. And there's going to be no way that anyone who would be running in the government or working there or whatever would be like, I'm going to stop protection of people. Like that just wouldn't work, because money and greed play such a huge part into crime here that with that never leaving America, it would basically be like the purge. But shooting and killing a civilian for no reason is just, there's no way to justify it. They need to take down the hierarchy that they've made. Yes, they will need to have some different protections than some civilians, but that is because they are keeping the peace, quote unquote. But they're giving these where they can shoot someone based on their skin color or their gender or their age or where they live or whatever and get away with it. Anyways, guys, I think that's all I had for my little rant on policemen, this little mini-sode, but there will definitely be more to come in the future. Thank you so much for listening, and for the book for today, Anarchist Against the Wall, edited by Yuri Gordon and Ole Gizer. But this one you can get on AK Press, like I mentioned in the last episode, so that's www.akpress.org or www.akuk.com. Now, in the next episode, there are some websites that I found that really help the study of anarchy and getting more into it and getting a more in-depth idea. So if you want me to go into that and share the resources that I have in that genre, please let me know. Just send me some feedback. My Instagram is rev_bolt. You can always email me at bloodlustpunk@gmail.com. So yeah, just keep in contact with me. Tell me what you guys want, and thank you so much for listening. I'll see you guys in the next episode.